And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We have in this Gospel an encounter of a mysterious encounter between Jesus and the devil. And one of the things that's quite interesting that we notice is that the devil quotes Scripture. He knows the Scriptures quite well, and he's able to quote them from memory. This means quite clearly for us, it's not enough for us to be able to know the Scriptures or the prayers of the church, but we have to love God. The devil is real. Now, some people today don't believe in the existence or activity of the devil, but they're wrong. The devil exists. He is real and he is active. The devil is a pure spirit. He is an angel that was created good by God. The name Lucifer means the one who bears light, something good. But at the moment of his creation, he chose not to serve God. He turned against God in a rebellious act of hatred, and he brought many of the angels with him. These are called the demons. The devil has a power that he uses only for evil, leading people to evil ways and to despair. The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about human history and says that human history is the story of dour combat with the forces of evil. The spirit of evil first appears in the Bible in the Garden of Eden. He deceives Adam and Eve. He is the serpent. And one of the other translations of that word serpent is something like a monster. He makes Adam and Eve think that they'd be better off without God and without his law. But that's a lie. However, they fall into the lie and they commit that first sin. Down through the ages, the spirit of evil continues his evil tactics against God's people, trying to move them away from God into evil and despair. Now, the devil is real and he's powerful, but we don't have to be afraid of him. We don't have to be terrified of the devil. There are people who believe in the devil, but they're constantly scared of him. Look in the New Testament. When the evil spirits appear, where Jesus is, Jesus defeats them easily. It's a no-contest battle. Jesus wins. He expels them. He commands them to be silent. He sends them away. In the Gospel of the first Sunday of Lent, which I just read to you, Christ does battle with the most powerful of the demons, the devil himself, the father of lies, the prince of darkness. And Jesus wins. He wins very easily. Not for a second did Jesus desire any of the offers made by the evil one. Turns against the devil with great ease, and the devil moves away. The lesson for us is very simple, but it's one we must practice. If we are close to Jesus, we also shall be victorious over the spirit of evil. If we're not close to Jesus, then we're in trouble. But if we stay close to Jesus, we are on the winning team. This winning team in heaven is called the saints. Many of the saints throughout their lives experience various attacks or temptations or encounters with the spirits of evil. One time, St. Teresa of Avila was sleeping in her bed, and a demon appeared to her at the foot of her bed and woke her up, very frightening appearance. And St. Teresa looked at him and said, "Oh, it's you again." And she rolled over and went back to sleep. She had that great courage because of her friendship with Christ. In the face of personified evil itself, she had no fear. She was one with Christ, nothing to fear. St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, who died when she was 23 years old, perceived that the devil and all the evil spirits are terrified of a soul in a state of grace, a soul that is free from sin, a pure soul, one with Christ, frightens the devil. Though the devil seems to be dramatic in his frightening tactics, it's the pure soul, the soul united to God through holiness of life, that terrifies the evil one. St. Therese even perceived that little children were a terror to the devil. He couldn't stand being near them because upon their baptism, their souls were perfectly washed clean in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus. And St. John Vianney, he endured even physical attacks from the devil because he was doing great work. St. John Vianney is the patron saint parish priest, and he used to hear confessions for many hours a day, something like 15 or 17 hours a day. People flocked to his little church in Ars from all parts of Europe to hear his catechism classes, his preaching, and to receive his spiritual direction and to go to confession. The devil hates those things, and so he constantly tormented St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney's response was he almost got comical with the evil spirit. He said, "The devil attacks me so often that I feel like we're old friends. They spend so much time together, he felt like they were old friends." But he wasn't afraid either because he knew he was one with Christ. This is our basic lesson, our fundamental lesson, our basic training in spiritual combat is this: stay close to Jesus. In every human activity, the basic lessons are the ones we must constantly refer to, no matter what we're doing. If we have the basic lessons right, we'll probably succeed. If we lose touch or lose practice of the basic lessons of our enterprise that we're working upon, we will fail in our task, whatever it is. We have a basic lesson in the fight that really matters, fight against the spirit of evil. The lesson, stay close to Jesus. How? By receiving the sacraments, beginning with baptism, by prayer, by avoiding sin. And if we have sinned, by going to confession as soon as possible, and by being good to others, doing good and avoiding evil. Close to Christ, we have nothing to fear. Now, some people who believe in the devil and the demons feel or begin to even say that the spirit of evil is everywhere. But that's not true. Only God is everywhere. We have that word omnipresent. That's an attribute of God, not of the devil. Some people think that the spirit of evil is all-powerful. No, only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is all-powerful. That word omnipotent describes an attribute of God. Some will say that the spirits of evil are all-knowing, that they know everything. No, only God is all-knowing. He is the one who is omniscient. In the Gospel, the Lord Jesus gives us some fine lessons on how to avoid the traps that the spirit of evil might lay against us from time to time. Jesus tells us that we must not live by bread alone when he refers to the Scriptures. Here, Jesus is teaching us about the need to pray, to live in the state of grace, to live by the Eucharist, which is the bread of heaven. We must make our relationship to God a priority, more important than the things of this world. When anything gets more important to us than God, then we easily fall into the trap of the spirit of evil. And that trap oppresses us and ruins our life. Man shall not live by bread alone. Then Jesus says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Here we learn the need for humility. Humility is very important in this spiritual battle. We should not think of ourselves as greater than anyone else, more important than anyone else. We are all equal. And above all, God is supreme. And we have to live this each day, that God is supreme. God is more important than me. He's more important than anything else in the whole universe. He is number one. We need the humility to acknowledge the truth that God is God, that he deserves our worship, and we should follow his law. No humility, then we are in trouble. We shall fall into another trap of the evil spirits. And these traps will affect our life. Everything we do in life will be touched by these traps of the devil. Then Jesus tells us a lesson that may not be immediately clear to us. He says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And what this means is that we must trust in God. Now, trust in God does not seem like a spiritual weapon. It just seems like an interior act of faith or just a sentiment we have before God. But it's very, very important to trust in the Lord. Go back to the Garden of Eden. The devil tried to convince Adam and Eve that they'd be better off without God, that they would achieve their greatness. You can be like gods. They would achieve their greatness if they stepped outside of God's command. And what happened to Adam and Eve is, in their hearts, they stopped trusting in their Heavenly Father. They began to think, well, maybe God's law is not good for us. Maybe we would be better off without God's law. Maybe we'd be more free if we did not have these commands of the Lord. If we could do anything we want, whenever we want, without regard to God's will. Maybe God lied to us about what will make us happy. That failure to trust in God led them into that first sin, which brought horror and havoc into their lives and into the lives of their family. Trust in the Lord. Trust that his law is good for us, that it's good for us to be obedient to the Lord, to his teachings contained in the scriptures and in the teaching of his one church. Trust that God is caring for us. Trust that our lives are in his hands and he has a beautiful plan for our lives. Trust in the Lord. Very, very important. Dear brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, we have everything we truly need in order to be victorious in this life and in the life to come. In this Lent of the year of faith, let us renew our commitment to live in Jesus, following his holy will. In this way, we shall rise above all the evils of this world and bring the goodness of God to those we meet.